You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the show. Today, I need to make a technical adjustment because I am hearing something I don't want to hear. And I'm trying something new, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute. And there. Okay. Yeah. No, that isn't going to work either. All right. So, all right. What I'm trying, and I'll tell you what it is. I am streaming this on Sam's wonderful platform, LA Talk Radio, to all his different places. But what I tried tonight is I've hooked it up to another account that I have with Restream, and that should be streaming to a bunch of platforms that I have. Eight new platforms, not new, but I mean other platforms, and I'm just trying this thing. And what I had first was an Echo, and Sam hurried and sent me a note, Echo, and I know I heard it. And so I'll have to figure out a better solution. I just turned off the audio on the other one, but maybe that's all I need. So minus the technical glitch here, we're talking about something. Now this bird behind me, whenever I use this background, people talk about it. And it's a phoenix. Now, everybody that's watched Harry Potter knows about phoenix. And if you know Greek mythology, you know about the phoenix. The bird that rises from the ashes. Every so often, it gets old, catches fire, right? Rises from the ashes. And it signifies new birth, new life, and everything. And the phoenix is the representation of my journey, my life. And I'm putting up a thing here for you to look at. Let's see. What is that? There it is. Oops. This is a URL in case you're interested in later finding out some stuff. But anyway, the phoenix is a bird that symbolizes life and growth and rising from the ashes. Well, my whole life has been one of rising from the ashes. And today I titled today's thing, Let's Destroy Fear. Let's destroy fear. Now, some people, as soon as you say stuff like that, people say, oh, fear serves a purpose. And they talk about saber-toothed tigers and, you know, when we used to need fear to save our lives and everything. I'm not going to argue with that. Okay, fine. We did. We were. We are. But you know what? Fear wrecks far too many things. It have nothing to do with pre-wired limbic brains and saber-toothed tigers and all the rest of that stuff. So let's just take all of that stuff and put it aside, because there is a place for fear. Fear of something's going to harm you. Fear of someone, you know, being mugged in an alley or stabbing you or abuse or whatever. Okay, fine. We'll just acknowledge all that. It's necessary. It's important. And we'll put it over there for a minute. Okay? Because I want to talk about something else. So I'm not ignoring that. We'll acknowledge all of it and then just put it aside. What I'm talking about today is the fear that is in your heart, in your soul, the paralyzing discomfort that keeps you from doing stuff you really want to do, that keeps you from taking action that somewhere in your heart you feel you should take. Now, I'm a coach. Everybody that watches this show much knows that. What the heck is a coach? Well, my life, my blood, my sweat, my tears is finding people who are yearning to grow and achieve. Like an athletic coach coaches athletes to the Olympic podium, to state championships, maybe in, you know, whatever they're doing, right? Michael Phelps told stories about his coach, had an interview where he talked about that. And so we know about athletic coaches. And you know what? I just got off of a coaching call with a fellow who has been coaching me vocally, a vocal coach. Now, I sing professionally. I write songs and I sing and I perform. I was in a group, a large group that charted number one on Billboard 3 times. But I haven't done a ton of solo work. And so this coaching has been about me getting ready to sing songs that I wrote, original music. I write a lot. If you want to hear any of it, go to Spotify and look up my name. I've got 88 songs on there. But I've been working with this coach for a long time, and it's been just powerful and amazing result. I sing well. I'm happy with it. I express and do what I want to do. But it's because of good coaching, good help. So I love the work that I do. I call it being a catalyst in chemistry. A catalyst is something you pour in a chemical reaction to make something happen that wouldn't happen otherwise, or to make it happen faster or more of it, you know, that kind of thing, right? So coaching is a business where I as a coach, it is my livelihood and my love to help you, help people do things they didn't believe they could do. Get to a podium, get to an achievement, get to an income level, get overcome doubts and fears and struggles, and get to accomplishments that last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, they thought were just impossible. They couldn't even conceive of them. Now, here is the thing that I notice. I've been in this business for well over a decade. I started 2008, I think, so 16, 17 years. The biggest barrier to you achieving all the money you want to have, all the prosperity, purpose, joy, is fear. You're afraid of something. Some people say, I'm afraid I'll succeed, and or I'm afraid I'll fail, or I'm afraid I'll look stupid, or I'm afraid of I'll be ridiculed or rejected. You will be. But if you want to get somewhere, you got to go. And the fastest way to get to wherever you're trying to go is with help, with the right kind of help, the right kind of encouragement, because we're all going to run into setbacks. We're all going to run into failures. We're all going to land on our face sometime in the process, and it's going to feel like, oh, I blew it. I had a beautiful, heartfelt, deep conversation with someone today that I haven't talked to for several years. I met him about 7 years ago, 2017, I think. And this individual is, quote, struggling. You know, that's a coaching word, a personal development word, right? Struggling. What does struggling mean? It means that stuff isn't happening like you want, like you're trying to do something and it's not happening. Struggling to understand calculus. Struggling to get through this project. I'm struggling to finish this report. I'm struggling to stay out of fights with my significant other. I'm struggling, whatever, to stay sober if you've got an addiction issue of any kind. So we use the word struggle to mean there are conflicting forces. Well, that's the heart of coaching, sorting out conflicting forces and helping you connect with the ones that really matter to you, that are important in your heart. So that's why I love coaching so much. And those of you that have listened many times know that my commitment this year, my commitment started 3 months ago, October 14th, is to reach 250 million people and to help 250 million people discover who they really are, divine beings with infinite capability, able to rise above whatever's happened in the past and create. Now, you've heard all that stuff before from all kinds of gurus and development people, but the cool thing is it's true. And you can blow it off if you want. Feel free. You're free to live at any level you want. You're also free to create at any level you want. And the thing I notice most of all is the topic of tonight, which is fear. Fear. Not the real fears of saber-toothed tigers and getting killed. It's fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of struggle, fear of I'm not good enough, fear of somebody's going to laugh at me, fear of success. You know, people articulate that in different ways. So here's a fun thing. I had a person that I knew was in a seminar, and they were speaking, and they said, I have a check here for $1 million. And I knew this individual, and they have $1 million. So if they said they had a check for $1 million, they did, and it was good. And he said, I'll give this check to a person who can bring me, and everybody's sitting on the edge of their chair, a cup of fear. Now, fear is a feeling in our bodies. It's created by a neurochemical cocktail, you know, right? A combination of the neurotransmitters that makes you tighten your stomach or your chest or whatever. But you know where it comes from? It comes from believing we are somehow in danger. Now, we've set aside all those physical things. Most of the fear we experience is an imaginary danger that somehow embarrassment or failure or not good enough or whatever is going to kill us. But you know what? No one's ever died of embarrassment. There's no medical record of anyone ever. Public speaking, completely blow it, blow your lines, look stupid, make a mess out of yourself, get booed off the stage. You know what? The next day they're in the restaurant at breakfast. Like nobody's ever died from that. Yet we allow that fear to rob us of our humanity, to rob us of our dreams, to rob us of our potential. Why is that okay? Why is that allowed? Well, we are the control mechanism. Nobody can make you be afraid. So I'm going to talk about what constitutes fear, what causes it in us, and then how to do something about it. Because as a coach, what I see is fear getting in the way of more dreams, more possibilities, more money, more success, more promotions, more sales, more relationships, more books getting finished, all that stuff. I see fear getting in the way of that more than any other thing. So one thing that I want to offer you, because one of the things I love to do is give stuff away. The URL right there, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Now, you say, well, why should I go there? Well, you shouldn't, unless you want to create your ultimate life. You shouldn't bother unless you're really interested in doing something new. Like if the life you have right now is totally satisfactory, you don't want to change anything, and you'd be happy if everything just stays like it is from now till doomsday, or you die, great, then you're done. You're living your ultimate life, and that's fabulous. I'd like to meet you because I love featuring people like you on this show and on my podcast to talk about your ultimate life, how you achieved it, what you're doing, how you're adding good to the world. Because 100% of the people that I know who have achieved a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy love to share the message, the tools, the possibilities, the opportunities, the encouragement. They love to share that because there's something about us as human beings, something about our makeup that makes us yearn to be in service. So let's go back to www.yourultimatelife.ca. There is something there called the five master keys to creating your ultimate life. It doesn't cost any money, but it will cost you some effort and energy. So if you're allergic to effort and energy, don't bother. But if you want what I've learned from 16 years of working on this personal development stuff and helping others about how to achieve purpose, fulfilling, meaningful life purpose, how to achieve prosperity, which is how to turn your gifts, your talents, the things you love to do into cash, and how to make an impact in the world, then why aren't you already there? Go get that. It's free, but it won't. It's not free. It costs you time and effort. It doesn't cost any money, and that's usually what we mean when we say free. But you know what? 90% of people I talk to, they won't do that. Yeah, it's something, you know, some stupid thing. You're trying to sell me something. No, I'm not. My commitment this year is to help 250 million people. I don't know how I'm going to do that, and I don't know how I'm going to reach 250 million people, but every day that's all I'm doing on this show, on my podcast, my own podcast. I was on a show this morning that was just a delightful show called the Self-Love Revolution or the Self-Reinvention Revolution or the Self Development Revolution or something like that, a beautiful name. And it's 20-something speakers, you know, over a bunch of days, and I got to be one of them. And they have a really large audience, added up all the speakers, you know, mailing lists, an audience of about 150,000 or something. But 150,000 is a drop in a bucket compared to 250 million. I'd have to do 1,500 of those shows. So I have my work cut out for me. But I don't care. All I'm doing is this. I'm helping you understand, no matter where you've been, no matter what struggles you've faced, no matter how many times you've been slapped down, you don't have to stay there. Today is under your control. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. In fact, yesterhour is gone. The next hour isn't here yet. What you have in your hands is right here, right now. Your choice about what to do right now is what determines your life, because everything is just a series of these right now moments. And we sort of intuitively know that. But you know how much time we spend thinking about the past, mistakes we made, or worrying about the future, which we can't do anything about anyway? I had a conversation with someone today, and I keep saying that, don't I? But you know what? I had 9 conversations today. 9 calls, and all of them are dedicated to this 250 million. But anyway, I had a call with someone today, and one of their biggest concerns was sadness and sorrow over decisions they'd made last year or 2 years ago, or, you know, some in the past. And they were just freaking out to some extent about whether or not they were the right ones. I wonder if that was right. I wonder if, you know what? Here's the only important question. Whatever has happened, whatever you decide, it's done. What the only question you can answer right now is, given what is right now, what do I want to create? So write that down. Given what is, given the present tense with all of the things that are, whatever anybody else did, and whatever you did, given that, what do you want to create with that? Now, sometimes when I ask people that question, here's the answer I get. Well, I need so-and-so. I need the economy to turn around. I need my boss to quit being a jerk. I need my partner to quit. And they focus on a bunch of other circumstances, outside things, externalities, I call those. Other people's behavior, thoughts, actions, attitudes. Well, you don't control those. So any effort that you or I spend frustrated about that is a waste of your precious power. So the best way to understand the question, given what is, what do you wish to create, is to think about this. With the levers you can pull, your words, your actions, your attitude, your connections, your willpower, your thoughts, your love, your action, with the levers you control, and there's a boatload, what do you want to create? So let's get back to fear, because often when I ask that question, we talk about the levers you control. Well, what are those levers? We'll talk about that in just a second. But when I ask about the levers, well, we talk about, well, you could do this and you could do this and you could do this. Oh, well, and then there's a whole list of reasons why not to do that, even though it's under your control, even though it's something you and you alone have control of. That's where this fear thing comes in. So what are the levers you control? Well, you control what time you get up in the morning. You control how you meet each day. And you might say, well, what do you mean how I meet each day? I got to get up, get ready, and go to work. That's not what I mean at all. If you think about an athlete, or this, you know, I talked about my vocal coach. If you think about an athlete or a performer of any kind, someone that's going to go on stage, someone's going to go give a presentation at work, go into a boardroom, and there they all are, and you got to do a prezi. Do you warm up before or after the game? Well, you laugh. It's a stupid question. Of course you warm up before the game. You warm up before the game, before the performance, before the show, before the prezi. You do that all the time. Of course you do. How could you not? Well, you know what? I would be willing to bet that most of the days of your life, you haven't done your warm-up. You wake up, and I used to do this all the time, so I'm not pointing at you. I'm guilty as heck. I wake up, I do what I have to do, get showered, get dressed, eat if I could or whatever, you know, go somewhere, go to work or go to something. That isn't what I mean by preparation. Yeah, I got to get dressed. I'm not going in, you know, my underwear or pajamas or something. Of course not. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the important assets, your attitude, your belief in yourself. This goes back to the levers you control. You control whether or not you smile. You control whether or not you believe in your opportunities. You control whether or not you believe in your success or failure. You control whether or not you believe you're a winner or a loser. You control whether or not you believe other people are nice or jerks. You think they do. You think what somebody else does controls your attitude. It doesn't. I'll give you an example. There are, and this has been talked about before, but just talk about prejudice that we have in the world. Some people hate other groups of people. They don't know them. They don't know anything about them. They have an idea about someone else. And because of the idea about that, they don't like them. They hate them. Maybe they're going to go to war against them. And they've never even met them. Well, you know what? If we can do that, then you can love people without knowing them also. You can think kindly and positively. You can assume, if you want to, everybody wants to hear what you have to say. You can assume your presentation will go well. After all, you've prepared and your facts are ready. You can assume that your endeavor will be successful. You can make the preparations and give it all you've got and assume success instead of failure. Now, you might think that's stupid, but here's the facts. Study after study after study of business endeavors have shown that people that are more optimistic, positive, and expecting good outcomes have them. They're more likely to succeed. In medicine, any shrink or doctor will tell you the greatest predictor of someone recovering from some kind of illness, mental illness, physical illness, accident, all that stuff, the greatest predictor is their attitude. How bad do they want to recover? How much do they believe they're going to recover? How positive are they about that? That's more powerful than any medication. It's more powerful than any treatment. Think about that. Awesome, beyond awesome. That means you, your hand, your lever, you control the most powerful factor determining your own success. Now, so we talked about the levers you have. You have your attitudes, you have your words, you have how you choose to project energy positively or negatively. You have control over how much you study, how much you learn. You control over whether or not you're on time to things, whether you're late, whether you bring positive energy or negative energy. You have control over how you choose to look at others as enemies or friends. You control, you and you alone control all those things. Yet here's what I notice as a coach over and over again. I'm talking to a person who owns a business. And we're talking about prospecting. For some reason, when you talk about prospecting or looking for clients, everybody says, you can fill in the blank here. And if I was in front of an audience, I'd have you all say it out loud. I hate prospecting. I hate sales. I hate going out and doing that. Okay. That is your fear getting in the way of your success. Think about it. You have a story, or I do. They don't want to hear me. They don't want what I have. They don't want to talk to me. They're going to be mad I interrupted them or that, you know, whatever. And so it's going to be a failure anyway. So that means I come into the conversation in an energetic manner that says this. So imagine I have a banana in my hand, and before I offer the banana, I smash it all up, and I make it all grody and brown. And then I hold it out and I say to you, you don't want this banana, do you? That is the energy that you or I project when we go in with the idea of negativity. Well, of course they don't want the frickin' banana. Looks like crap and probably tastes bad too. Get out of my face. Well, what do you expect? You got exactly what you expected. So let's go back and talk about this warm-up that I was talking about for your day. When you go into a project, doesn't matter what the project is, yard work, painting the house, report or project due at work, prospecting for clients, when you go or talking to your significant other, trying to fix an argument or a relationship, when you go into a project with a squished banana, meaning positive it's going to fail, positive somebody's going to be pissed, not going to matter, somebody's going to be angry with you, afraid, and you carry that energy into the project, the chances of failure go up exponentially, right? So if I don't prepare myself before I go into a meeting or a conversation, I'm not setting the tone. I'm allowing circumstances or somebody else to set the table. If, on the other hand, I come into a conversation positive, joyful, curious, in a good space, expecting positive outcomes, then I have set the tone for the conversation. So here is what I use to prepare for my day every day. I use an acronym called SPEM, S-P-E-M. Nothing magic, nothing earth-shaking, but the results are earth-shaking. The results change the world. They change the game for me every single day, 100% of the days. To me, it's worth millions of dollars, millions of pounds of happiness and joy, millions of joyful relationships. You want to know what it is? Spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. Now, I know there's some people that have life wheels that got 12 parts, too complicated for me. So I break it up into four parts, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, and I intentionally prepare myself. Now, how you prepare yourself, or I do, can be different. Doesn't matter. But the point is, am I warmed up? So for me, spiritual stuff is prayer, sacred literature, motivational stuff. I have a document that is my most sacred and powerful document. It's my agreement with God, personal constitution. I call it a PTAC, personal truth and commitment. So I review that, and I have some conversation with God. And I spend my time, my spiritual time, doing that. The result is I feel energized. I feel hopeful. I'm in a good mood. I feel positive. I feel capable. And I'm ready to take on the world. Yeah. Whoa. Why would I skip that? Why would I? I don't have time to get in a good, powerful place today. I'm going to just end of the day feeling mediocre. Well, when you say it like that, it's pretty silly, right? P is physical. Now, we all know when we don't feel good, it affects our performance, our attitude, and everything else. So I intentionally spend a few minutes every day doing things that make my body feel good. Now, for me, that is stretching, some exercises on the floor, some push-ups. And, you know, I've done martial arts a lot of years, so I have a whole bunch of martial arts stretches that I can choose from. And I don't take a big, long time to do it. I might take 15 or 20 minutes. On the floor, really doing some exercise to stretch and to wake up the body. Why would I do that? Well, I want it to feel good. I want it to perform the best it can. I want to pay honor to the container of my spirit. So my spiritual stuff wakes up my spirit. I'm in high gear. I'm focused. I feel connected to my purpose. I'm raring to go. I wake up my body. I exercise and I do that. And then, yeah, I might housekeeping, shave or shower, whatever's part of that too, you bet. Now, the E, this is an interesting thing because both those first two were personal, okay? They're waking me up, getting me tuned up. E is emotional, And that is other focused. So what I do, and I love social media and I love smartphones and I love those tools for this reason. I take my phone usually, and I usually use Facebook Messenger, but sometimes I use text, and I'll just scroll through names. And I'll look at 100 or 200 names, text, messenger, or whatever. And with intuition, I'll send maybe 6 to 10 messages. They're always messages of hope, love, encouragement. Maybe they're apologies if something's not right, a repair attempt. But the intention there is to enrich and empower some set of relationships. Now, I can't begin to describe the value of that activity. I have created clients from that. I've made money, cash, hard, cold cash, just because I reached out. I've also helped people along their way, encouraged. I've had people write back and say, oh, thank you, just what I needed, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and that strengthens relationships. I've had the opportunity to repair or begin to repair something that had gone south, something where there was a misunderstanding, miscommunication or something. And I do that on purpose in the morning as part of this ritual, because that is the best time, because I am prepared. How does that have to do with fear? Well, you know what it feels like to be worried about what someone's thinking. Oh, they hate me. I wonder if they'll be mad. I wonder if this. Taking the initiative and just taking action eliminates the fear. The fear is gone. You took action. You declared your intention. You send a message of love, encouragement, or repair, or whatever. Because you could, just because you can. And I can tell you over and over again, I do it every single day. I feel good. I get good answers and communication back from everybody, and I don't even care. Because here's the secret. I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm sending these things because this is who I am. I am a purveyor of love. I don't care. And you know what that helps me eliminate? Fear. I've stopped worrying about what people think. I've stopped worrying about what people are going to wonder. Why are they doing that? I don't care. I'm doing it because that's who I am. It bears powerful fruit. Now, the fourth piece of my daily warm-up is M, mental. And that is, you know, intellectual, mental workout, development, so forth. And you can't see them, but over here on my desk, I have three piles of books, and there's probably somewhere between 10 and 15 books in each pile. I'm in the middle of all of them. And I take 10, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer, to read in any of the books. Now, I intentionally put books over there that are, there's stuff I want to learn about. They might be marketing books. They might be motivational books. They might be coaching books. They might be my own books, because I've written 19 books. I have a stack of those over there too. And I read my own books. I wrote them, some of them a long time ago, and I find them helpful. But most of them, two of the three stacks are somebody else's stuff, everybody else's stuff. And they rotate out regularly. I buy books all the time and I rent them from the library, and I just go through books and read them. Why would I do that? Well, I can't count the number of times that something I read that morning shows up in a coaching call, shows up in an introductory call, shows up in an introduction, you know, and they'll say something and I'll think, hey, you know, this morning I was reading blah, 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 and it has something to do with it. So that simple morning ritual eliminates fear. It eliminates fear because I feel prepared. I have expressed love, kindness, repair, openness, olive branch if needed, and I have expanded my mind. When you're in curiosity, you can't be in fear. When you're in fascination, you can't be in fear. When you're in service, you can't be in fear. When you're in love, you can't be in fear. Think about that. And here's the powerful part that mostly we overlook, and that is this. We think that our state depends on what other people say and do. It doesn't. It doesn't. It depends on what I choose to believe about what they said. I don't have to accept. I don't have to allow someone else's attitude or opinion to control my own experience of life. How many times have you been in a conversation where somebody says something and you decided it was an insult? And so you're insulted. You chose to be insulted. You chose to be hurt. You chose to be angry. That, and you may say, well, it was the tone, and obviously they meant it as an insult. Well, I have a story for you. When I first started doing the work, like if you follow my story at all, you know I spent decades in depression and self-sabotage and destructive behavior, even though I was successful in careers and made a lot of money. Behind the scenes, it was a wreck. After I began working on this path that I'm on now, starting in 2007, I began to take this work of self-improvement and growth seriously because I hated how my life had been before, even though I hid all my secrets behind the scenes and all that stuff. I hated it. I hated it so much I attempted suicide twice. It's a story for another day. And it's terrifying and real and sad, but that isn't the point. Point right now is after I began to seriously work on this, saying, you know what, I'm not living life this old way anymore. That sucks. I'm living life in a new, empowered, growth-oriented way in service and love because, wow, it feels better, produces purpose, prosperity, and joy. And gee, what is that? The ultimate life. And I had to start somewhere, and I started in a big, deep hole, right? But I was determined to climb out. So here's a story about that. My wife, who I've talked about often on this show, and she's appeared a few times as a guest, and she will again. She's an angel. I don't know if she keeps a halo in the closet, but she's an angel. She's a holy being from another dimension. And I don't mean she's a doormat, because that's the furthest thing from the truth. She's a powerful, capable creator in her own light, right? But she's an angel. But anyway, as I was in the process of doing this work on myself, she said something. She's a very direct person, not unkind at all, but just very clear, very direct about stuff. So she said something to me one day, and it was just like the situation I described. I heard it as an insult or an attack. And I said to her, why are you attacking me? And I said it in a frustrated, why are you attacking me? You know the tone, right? And in a surprised way, she looked at me and said, I wasn't attacking you. And I got frustrated. And I said, indignantly, any third party, any of you listeners out there, the neighbor, anybody, if anyone in the universe had been sitting watching this conversation, they would have thought you were attacking me. What else could you possibly mean? That was an attack. It was an unkind, and I was waxing poetic, right? That was a crappy thing to say. You were attacking me, and anybody that would have seen that, they would have known. Well, bless her heart, she didn't escalate. She kept cool. She said, well, whatever, I wasn't. And then she left the conversation because there was nothing more for me to say. I'd already done my drama dance, and she wasn't having any part of it. So because I was working on this thing, self-improvement and everything else, I went and sat down and I thought, okay, I'm feeling insulted and attacked. My body, I'm pissed, you know. She has told me she didn't mean that. I have said, what else could it mean? And that's where we are, given what is. What do I wish to create with the levers I have? So I said to myself, all right, fine. So let's just play a game here. She said X, Y, Z, and I repeated the words. And I said, The first time I said it, I said, well, what else could she possibly mean? In that sort of angry way. This time I took my own emotion out of it. This was, again, my lever. And I repeated the words and I said, what else could that mean? Not what else could that, but what else could that mean? Well, I don't know. And then I got curious. And remember, when you're curious, you can't be pissed. So I got curious and I thought, I wonder. So I repeated, and I would tell you what the words are, but I don't remember anymore. But I did then, and I said, so I repeated the words without any emotion. And I said, huh, what else could that mean? I don't know. What else could it mean? And so because I chose to just get curious, and I repeated the words, and I thought, well, it could mean this. I don't know. It could mean this. And I thought of three or four other things that it could mean. And then at that moment, I had a vision picture that I had seen before, and it was on a ski lift. And there's a ski. I used to have season passes to a ski resort called Sunshine. It's in Banff, Alberta, and it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. If you've never been, you should go. B-A-N-F-F, Banff, Alberta. It's on Highway 1. But anyway, I had season passes to Sunshine up there, and there's two lifts. One goes up to this mountain, and I mean, there's more than two, but there are two that go up from the same area, not too far from the base camp. One goes up to this mountain, and then one goes up over here. And if you're riding the lift, they both overlook the same valley, right? But from different sides. So this lift overlooks it from the right, and this one from the left. And for some reason, I what came in my mind as I said, what else could this mean, is riding those lifts, looking at the valley. Now, the valley in between the two lifts looks completely different from the right side and from the left side. Of course, trees are in a different place. The shapes of things are different. Some things are blocking other things. You know, it looks different. And so when I asked the question, what else could this mean? Suddenly this picture of the two ways the valley could look came into my mind. And I realized, and this was the phrase that saved my soul. I said, oh, there is another mountaintop, meaning there's this mountaintop and there's this mountaintop. And so suddenly I realized, holy crap, I have chosen to have it mean this. And it could mean that. Or what if there's a third mountaintop? So I've taken a long time to tell the story. But at that moment, the entire framework of my prejudice about what things meant, my own assumption of insult, not only about that thing, but a million things, just sort of came crumbling down, because I thought, holy crap. I have built my whole life, every reality that I have, on assumption that I know positive and for sure what everything means. And so the phrase, what else could that mean, became really powerful for me. And the answer is, there is another mountaintop. It was like, holy cow, there is another mountaintop. Changed my whole life. And so I remember that, and that's now been 15, 16 years since that happened. Now, here's the point of that big, long story. The point of that story is Joy didn't do anything. She left the room. I was left with my own thoughts and a commitment to explore what else is possible here. Given what is, we had this conversation. She said X, and it was heated. What do I wish to create? I want control of my life. I want to exercise my ability to control my own life. I want that. I choose that. That was a profound awakening moment. So I offer that to you as an explanation. It was all done in my head, with my mind, with my thoughts, with my realization, with my levers, and it didn't have anything to do with anybody else. So I offer you a truth, and the truth is you have the ability to do that. With any fear that you have, what are you afraid of? What do you believe will happen? Right? What will that do if it does happen? Now, because I lived so much paralyzed by fear, I was afraid of relationships. I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of being exposed, especially when I was doing a lot of substances and bad stuff. People are going to find out. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to get in trouble. Everybody's going to hate my guts. I'm going to lose all my job. And, you know, all of the fears that were legit. So I lived paralyzed by fear, a duplicitous hiding life. Having changed all that, one of the things that finally helped me, or that I finally realized that I want to offer you, is I finally realized that we create our own failure and we create our own fear. And 99%+ of it is imaginary. It is fear of what other people think. And I'm going to give you several things right now. One is something called Wittot, W-I-T-O-T. And it's a made-up thing, the Wittot fungus. And it stands for what I think others think. How much of that is in your life? How much are you not doing, not trying, not growing because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say, what somebody's going to think, or what somebody told you, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that? There's fear keeping your glory chained to the floor. The truth is you're a divine being. The truth is you're capable of infinite creation. I don't care what ashes you're in. You are capable of rising from the ashes like the phoenix and creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And you know what's cool? Nobody can keep you from it. Hear me. No one can keep you from creating your ultimate life. Only you. And fear is the biggest part of that. And to honor that whole thing, one of the books that I wrote after a particular experience, terrifying, life-threatening experience for me, not the time I died, actually, but when about 6 months later, it caused me to write a book called Walking Without Fear. And this is not to say, well, you know, I'm not holding this up as some silly, unattainable thing. It is absolutely possible, achievable for you. You listening right here, right now, to live a life without fear, where fear doesn't come into the equation of your decisions. Well, I'm not going to try this because I might fail. Somebody might know this and this might. All of those, that fear language, you can eliminate that. You can never be afraid again. That doesn't mean everything's going to happen like you want. You're going to have all kinds of unintended consequences. But what you can do is live your life from a place of, I don't care if that happens. I'm doing what I believe is the right thing. What I think is good will add good to the world and serve your business, your colleagues, your potential clients. I believe it's good. And if it doesn't turn out right, I'm not afraid of that anymore. I may have some cleanup to do. I may have some, you know, stuff I've got to fix, but I don't have to be afraid. And so this was the point of today's conversation. You no longer need to live in fear of anything. Now, remember at the beginning, we set the physical things aside. I'm talking about that internal, gut-wrenching, horrifying fear that keeps you from trying the things you know you want to try, starting the business you know you want to start, writing the book you know you want to write, starting a thing you know you want to start. Why are you doing that? Why are you letting that get in your way? Well, I know the answer. You're afraid. Or you've already labeled yourself a failure. You're wearing the big stamp of, I'm not good enough. I'll never get there. I suck. Well, I empathize with that because I lived decades, believing I wasn't good enough and would never make it, would never be okay. I would never amount to anything. I would never get the stamp of approved from I don't even know who. Today, as we do this broadcast, I live without fear, 100%. I have walked that path. I didn't have any magic. I didn't find a secret that nobody else can have. I did find a lot of secrets, but they're not secrets nobody else can have. So I'm offering you some tools. I'm offering you some insights that I know for sure work, that are worth their weight in gold. One is the 5 master keys to your ultimate life, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Go there and get it. But only if you're serious about changing your life. You can read the book, Walking Without Fear, if you want to have that. There's a whole story in here and process and diagrams and graphs and things about how to get fear out of the equation of your life. Like, remember, fear is a construct. It is a belief about something bad's going to happen. And you don't need to have that fear. You can deal with whatever consequences there are in a powerful way because you control the levers. My greatest wish for you today is to at least consider the possibility. You can live without fear. You can have anything you want, but it isn't going to come in an Amazon box, and you're not going to find it on aisle 13 and a half at Safeway. And there isn't a special sauce that you pour on your life today that automatically gets you results. Nope, none of that. But it is possible to go there. If you're willing to walk the path, you can live without fear. You can create the things you want to create. And above everything else, if you want it, you can truly create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.